Cowboys and pioneers, come lend your eyes and ears. I've got the need to testify. Don't try to build your nest out in the open west, cause there's a million ways to die. 6 bullets in the gut are just a paper cut. Too many ways to quantify.
And live from the 1480 AM studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, our Western show. I love Western. I used to be a cowboy in a prior life.
Howdy, Dave. How you doing?
I'm very good. How are you? Best, oh, that doesn't sound
that
Western.
That doesn't sound
you
like...
You sound Western.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I actually used to be a cowboy. When I was real young, I actually rode a horse. It was a little small horse. It was called a pony.
It was on springs.
That one, too. Yeah, I rode him several times. He sat outside Safeway.
I rode a pig.
You did?
Yeah, I did pig hunting.
I roped them pigs.
And those hunt them or ride them?
And you remember pig vomit?
Yes, of course. I roped some pigs at a bar crawl once.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Let's not talk about that one.
I roped some dogs at a bar crawl.
Nice.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that nice.
Oh, yeah, it is our Western. It is our Old West show here on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Tombstone, my favorite show.
We'll talk about several different Western-themed movies and TV shows because... you know, it's all in honor of A Million Ways to Die. That is the song that actually brought us...
A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Right, let me clarify. Well, the song was A Million Ways to Die. It's from the movie A Million Ways to Die in the West. That's why it's our Old West show. And the song was sung by Alan Jackson.
Not Alan Jackson. I love country western.
Yeah? Well, you're going to love today's show.
I love both country and western.
Oh, yeah. They're two separate things.
We live in the country.
Let me hear Eric's favorite western talk.
You want me to speak like a cowboy?
Yeah, there you go. See, that was good. I liked it. That was, right?
I live in Cave Creek. I get it all the time.
Oh, that's right. Ooh. They wear guns and stuff, right?
Cave Creek versus Scottsdale.
Oh, my God, last night?
Yeah.
We were sitting at a place I won't mention, and guns were drawn.
Uh-oh.
And everybody ran and hit the deck.
Are you kidding
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Really?
Yeah.
They were drawn?
It got a little bit scary.
Oh, my God.
And this was in Cave Creek?
Yes.
Wow, the West is still alive. I think Cave Creek...
It is. It was exactly. It was like the Wild West. All of a sudden, we were sitting there, and Kathleen screamed, "He's got a gun!"
Really? And
next
then what
thing you knew, there were four guns, and everybody's like running.
Well, I think that that officially means that Cave Creek won that battle against Scottsdale, then.
I guess so.
Yeah, wow.
That's definitely
Did you see John McCain draw first?
He wasn't there, neither was Jeff Flake.
No, John McCain is an artist, so he probably drew... first.
Oh, he is an artist?
You get it? Drew, trying. Okay, not that.
Well,
who said he's a senator?
He's an artist.
Okay, exactly.
Well, I was actually meaning to ask you this, Dave, because, you know, I go to these bar crawls all the time, and I don't remember if this was the last time or two times ago, but I was standing there talking to this nice young lady, and I was trying to see if she was interested in me. I can't gauge interest very well.
No?
And she just kept talking about all these hobbies that she said that
break
she wanted
out 100, then you'll see.
Well, I know I should have tried that, but she was talking about, she said she wanted to try all these hobbies. She said that, you know, she wanted someone to teach her reverse cowgirl, and I said, I don't know, I'm not really
what?
A cowboy. And I said, it
a
seems dangerous.
Is that
I don't
like
know
some
that's just
sexual
like
move
that's
or something?
I'm sorry, what now? Did I just miss something?
You can't say that.
That's like you can't, that's like riding on a horse backwards.
Not the movies I've seen.
Okay. Well, I think I misjudged the situation, and I
misunderstood her.
Wow.
Yeah.
If she's out there, hey, I will try again.
You better.
I will try again.
Because that's really good, the reverse cowgirl stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I don't. It doesn't matter. You know,
it just seems dangerous to me that like you
as far
get
as
bucked
I'm concerned,
off.
Any position is probably okay.
I think that you just get bucked off the horse if you try that. I mean.
Not if you have good balance.
I don't know. Apparently, I don't know how to play ball or ride a horse, as we learned on our baseball show.
Wow, I'm going to show you film later. Film at 11.
I don't want to see if you took the
film at 11 at my house.
If it's starring you, I don't want to see
it.
No,
thanks,
it's
not starring me. Oh, but I do have some funny stories later on about
Vegas and
things,
stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. I can't wait. Well, we got a lot going on today because, again, it is Breakthrough Entertainment's Old West show in honor of A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Nice.
We're going to review the film in a few minutes here, but we've also got on a Western writer, right?
I saw that. Johnny Boggs.
Yes, Johnny
that,
Boggs.
That sounds like a Western guy.
Johnny D. Boggs.
Johnny D. Boggs, oh, yes. Yeah. He's won
I
a lot of awards.
I actually read the information you sent
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, nicely done.
He planned. Yeah. He prepared here. But yeah, we got the Western writer. He's going to tell us all about, you know, his favorite Westerns and what he likes to, you know, write about. And also we've got, you know, music throughout the show from some of our favorite, some of my favorite Western movies and TV shows.
Remember that?
Bonanza.
Yeah, that's good, right?
That actually is part of the show.
I love that song, right? You do too?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
It was good, though.
We got some good ones today. I think you'll really enjoy it. And some other interviews, we will be speaking with writer-director Gia Coppola from Palo Alto.
Is she related?
Yeah, of course. Yes, she is.
Oh, wow,
related to both the other Coppolas.
I just
Sophia
saw the guy
is her sister.
Sophia is her aunt.
Oh.
And Francis Ford Coppola is her grandfather.
And Nicolas Cage is her uncle.
Okay.
Hey, that is cool.
Our second cousin twice removed.
Does that make it legal still?
I think at the third
Sounds
level.
Sounds like she's a little too young for him.
Could it be at the third level it's legal? What do you think, Eric?
I have no idea.
We're going to Google that.
Okay, you can Google whatever you want.
Okay.
And we've also got an interview with the writer and director of a movie called Cold in July as well. His name is
that
Jim
That looks
Mickle.
Awesome.
Yeah, you think so? It's a good cast.
Well, I love Dexter.
Well, yeah, of course. We got Michael C. Hall, Sam Shepard.
And I like Sam Shepard, and I like Don Johnson.
Yeah, Three great actors in that. So we've got a review of that as well as we're speaking with the writer director, Jim Mickle. And we've also got an interview with actor Richard Harmon. I don't watch this show. It's on the CW. It's called The 100. It's going to be the first season is ending in the next week or two.
Never seen it.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I've seen the ads for it, but he's been in several other movies and TV shows as well. And we will also be speaking with a filmmaker from right here in the Valley, Travis Mills. I wonder if you've met him, Eric.
I may have. I've met a lot of people. I don't remember their names.
Yeah. Well,
I met him on Mill Avenue. I think they named it after him.
Okay.
Yeah, no, where they big empty white mill is.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Thrilla in Manila.
Well, he's from Running Wild Films, and he's got several projects in the works. Right now, he's just completed 52 films in 52 weeks.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, 52 short films. And then also, next year, he's going to be making 12 feature-length Westerns.
Running Wild, right?
Yes, Running Wild.
Well, I went to the website, and I was disappointed because it says, we present our short, this. And I clicked on it. It was just a picture.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, yeah, 30 seconds.
We'll have to see if
I
we
wanted
can get
to watch
to
the
that.
Film.
It's like a reverse cowgirl. 30 seconds just doesn't make it.
I'm getting texts
Eight
about
seconds.
The reverse cowgirl,
really?
By the
what
way.
Really? What do you got?
I don't know. I'm afraid to look.
I'll tell you on the break what that means.
All right. Well, I'm confused.
Or Eric, well, right? You know what it means.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, we'll have to talk about that during the
Now,
break.
In Hollywood, a reverse cowgirl would mean something else.
Yeah. Wasn't that Calamity
Coyote
Jane?
Coyote Ugly.
Is that reverse cowgirl? Calamity Jane?
No. She was a good gunfighter.
Oh, she was.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I don't know either. I'm confused. No, this is how things go. Well,
I have to go to with a bar. I'll teach at a bar crawl.
Well, we got Bobby called in last week. She wanted to go to the bar crawl, and she wanted to
Did
do
she?
Several other things.
Oh.
Did she show up?
No, she didn't show up. She said she wanted to spoon me. And I don't know.
She's full of it. Bobby, you're full of it. You never show up.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
See, now, whereas when you ask me to show up, I say I'm not coming.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But when you do come, you're there. I saw you at one of our events.
I did. Yeah. Where was that?
It was a pizza place. What was that? Oh, a grill, sports grill or something.
I don't remember, but it was some restaurant. I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah, it was fun. North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce event.
And we're working on doing a bar crawl ourselves, right? We're going to present one here pretty soon. Details presented by Breakthrough Entertainment.
Yep, no doubt about
It'll
it.
It'll be a theme. We're working on the theme, though.
And you'll give autographs, right?
I'll give autographs, but everyone's got to dress up like the movie theme that we're going to be.
Like cowboys, and you could wear your red boots and get a red hat.
Girls out there, come on
down. I actually have a picture of me with a red hat on. I will pull it up a little bit later. So I think
Bobby's calling.
Oh, my. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. Really?
Uh-oh. Are you kidding me? Maybe she'll tell us what reverse cowgirl is. No, if she wants to tell us that, she could tell us during the break.
Yeah, during the break. Or she could whisper in Eric's ear right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Sweet Nothings, actually.
Right. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
See,
you think it's Bobby?
I
don't know.
That's what's going on.
I remember. I wasn't here last week, but I remember.
You listen to the show? I know you were texting me throughout the show.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I liked the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you listened.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I worry that you don't listen. Because I thought it was a great show. We had on Dan Giesling.
Dan was great.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, was that Bobby?
Uh-oh. That was Bobby. She said she's going to pounce on you like a mouse.
Pounce on me like a mouse?
Like a mouse?
Wow.
I don't know. She said she's busy, but she said give out more details on the next one, and she'll try and make it.
Oh,
like,
terrific.
Like sting like a butterfly. No, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Who is that, Eric?
Muhammad Ali.
Yes, you are correct.
Who lives in the valley.
I know. Yeah. Very cool stuff, too.
Well, we will be presenting our bar crawl. But so definitely, Bobby and all of our other listeners, stay tuned to Breakthrough Entertainment every Saturday here on KPHX 1480 AM from 9 to noon.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll tell you more details as they become available. But in the meantime, let's talk a little bit about the movie that we're kind of like celebrating today. It's called A Million Ways to Die in the West. Seth MacFarlane plays a cowardly farmer, sheep farmer, by the way, who begins to fall for the mysterious new woman in town.
The worst kind of farmer.
You think so?
I know.
What? Well, back in the West, they hated the cattle herders, or cattle farm. What do you call them, ranchers? They hated the sheep ranchers.
That's
because they grazed on their land, right?
Right. They drank their cattle's water and all that stuff.
I know, and they were sheep skates. that's okay. You know, I don't. It's business was bad for them.
All right.
No, you know what? We'll just shear them on. We can shear them on. It's good.
Do you have those all written down there in your
No,
phone?
They're actually from the movie.
They are in the movie. I did see this movie.
You did? Oh, yes, awesome. Did. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the synopsis here. He falls for the new woman in town. She's mysterious. She's played by Charlize Theron, and he must put his newfound courage to the test when her husband, a notorious gunslinger, played by Liam Neeson, announces his arrival. You've also got Sarah Silverman in this movie, Giovanni Ribisi, and, of course, Neil Patrick Harris, a.k.a. Barney Stinson from
And your favorite, Amanda Seyfried.
How could I forget that? You know what? How could she be so blind with eyes that big?
I know.
That was the funniest joke in the movie.
I think you still should go out with her.
You're ruining the movie for us.
There's plenty of jokes in the movie, but you know, first of all, do you want me to tell you what I thought first, Dave, or do you want to share your thoughts?
I'll go for it.
All right, you tell me what you thought.
Here's what I thought. First of all, I thought it was really funny. I thought some of the lines were just fabulous, great. Some were corny, but still funny. But the thing is, a great delivery of the lines, I thought, by Seth MacFarlane. I thought he did a wonderful job writing this, directing it. He produced it. I mean, talent.
It's the first time we've seen him in front of the camera, except for Oscars, which I thought he did fine in. But, you know, he's usually behind the camera doing voices, Family Guy and Ted.
Yeah, and I thought he did a great job for his type of character. You know, could he play another character? I don't know. But that character was great. Great delivery. The acting was just excellent, I thought. I really liked the... like I said, Seth MacFarlane, Charlize Theron. Oh, man.
She was
talking about
hot
reverse
in this movie.
Oh, God.
She was hotter than Amanda Seyfried.
She is cute. I got to tell you. Liam Neeson.
But she's going out with Sean Penn. I can't remember.
Sean Penn? He's like 47 years older.
She's dating Sean Penn.
That's ridiculous.
That's a big age difference, isn't it?
Well, he went from Scarlett Johansson to Charlize Theron.
Oh, I wouldn't have done that. I would have stayed with Scarlett.
No, not after seeing this movie.
I don't give a darn, Scarlett.
She was too cute in this movie. She was better looking than Amanda Seyfried. Amanda Seyfried looked a little bit weird.
Wait, Sean Penn's going out with who?
Charlize Theron.
Oh, I thought you meant Amanda.
No, that's
a good choice. I would do the same thing. Oh, no, I wouldn't. But
what?
No, I'm kidding. If I was single.
That's okay. She's not listening.
Yes, she is.
Oh, okay.
Hello, honey. Anyway, the thing is, I thought Liam always does a great job.
Yeah, he does.
And he did another great job. Giovanni I always love from the movie The Other Sister.
He's kinda,
fabulous.
Yes. He's kind of creepy.
That's weird that you picked out The Other Sister. But yeah.
He
did a really good job in that movie. But he's worked with Seth MacFarlane on Dads, the TV show, right?
Yeah, and Neil Patrick Harris, excellent. Excellent character.
And we get to hear Neil Patrick Harris say his famous line from How I Met Your Mother, challenge accepted.
Yeah, that's
That
great.
Was like my heart skipped a beat. I was so excited we got to see Barney say that line one more time. Hey, Greg.
Hey, I was thinking right when I...
My final wrap-up of this review. Oh, what? What'd you say?
Well, I was going to say, with Giovanni Ribisi, like Joseph had mentioned, you chose the other sister. He said dads, but Ted... Come on.
Yeah,
now.
He's from Ted.
Was it as funny as Ted?
Yeah. Do you think it was funny?
No.
Oh, I thought this was a better movie.
Ted
than Ted
was pretty funny.
Not
Ted
as funny good. As Ted, but
I
liked it as
so
much.
So you liked it as well?
I liked it
but
as
I have
well.
One more
not,
comment.
Not as much as Ted, but.
I liked it better than Ted. My final comment, then Greg, you could do a comment. I thought the music was interesting. Yeah. It went from what I'd call happy Western upbeat music to eerie back to happy. I thought the choice of music was really interesting as they changed scenes.
Okay.
By interesting, you mean wrong?
No, not wrong, but quite a contrast that
Did it work?
Yeah. I thought it was a great movie. Not profound, but funny. If you want to laugh.
Well, of course it's not profound.
Yeah. Well, but yeah. If you want to laugh, this is the movie to see.
Well, it sort of is, actually. That's the thing behind Seth MacFarlane's writing, because, like with Family Guy, obviously a lot of the jokes are, you know, going after certain, you know, whether it's politicians or similar situations like
that's
that.
That's true.
Easy pickings.
There are, yes, absolutely. But the thing is, very small percentage of, first of all, I love Family Guy, and a lot of people love the show. But even some people that like the show, some of the jokes that they don't get, you know, maybe I get or others will get, or maybe some I don't. But the thing is that his humor in general, it's really good, but there's still a small percentage that really get a lot of it. Because some of the silly things, I saw people, some of the other critics out there, and I didn't hear your take on it.
I didn't say it. I didn't share yet.
I've been locked away in that room with
the
toilet.
Well, that's okay.
We'll discuss on break, too. But...
Do we need to?
I'd rather discuss the Reverse Call Girl thing instead of that.
I'm sitting by him.
I was just going to say, we'll see how long I could last. But some of them were, it's not funny. But it's because they didn't get the jokes. There's things behind it. And part of it is like, you know, when he's talking in Indian, you know, and it's not giving stuff away, but when they
Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis.
Right, and you see that there. But when when you see the subtitles there, and he's like, I'm a nerd, so the other white guys didn't like me, so I had time on my hands to do. You know, what he's doing is just going after all these, you know, the angry corporate people or these weird guys out there. When you see the high school movies, even though in real life, you don't see bullies as much. You do, but in different maybe grades. But you kind of get my drift that there's still an underlying message behind it that he's giving out there. I know people just say, it's the toilet humor, and it is. But there's a message behind it, but he just uses the toilet humor.
And along the lines of the message behind it, I agree with Greg, because, Dave, it is a little more profound than you think. Even look at the relationship, and I don't want to reveal, you know, what happens at the end, but just Seth MacFarlane's character is always, he's caring about a woman who doesn't care about him.
Yeah.
Right.
So I would agree
he's
there.
Missing the other part of the relationship. And then, you know, that's it spoke to me because I was thinking, why care about people who don't care about you?
That was a good message, wasn't it?
So, I mean,
another great message.
Relationship is a two-way street.
I would agree.
Because a great mustache really does cost a lot to maintain.
Yeah, they do. You know, they're very expensive. I tried once, and you've got to buy those oils. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just then you've got to buy the razors it's just ridiculous.
I was sitting next to a guy last night who had one of those curly mustaches.
Did you play with it?
It was grossing me out, actually.
He must have been rich.
No, he didn't look rich. He was pretty tatted up and then he told us to move down. And I'm like, what?
And then
move down where?
And then he pulled
down.
A gun.
Wow.
No, that was a different place.
Oh, wow. A lot of places.
That happens a lot there.
Greg missed out on the gun part, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
He was part of a gunfight.
Guns were drawn.
Guns were drawn.
In Cave Creek.
And people were ducking.
Yeah. Ducking.
For cover.
Ducking?
Ducks. Oh, Dick Cheney was shooting?
We were frozening.
Frozen? Hey, Frozen. Frozen's listening. Hi, Frozen.
I bet Frozen does listening online? He doesn't like Dick Cheney, right?
No.
Because Dick Cheney shoots.
Yes. No.
Ducks. And he shoots his friends in the face.
I know. That was weird.
But a more profound is, too, when you look at, like, Judd Apatow movies, it's the same way as with shows like Freaks and Geeks and stuff and things like that.
And, you know, I said that A Million Ways to Die, in my review, I say it's like spending a couple of hours in the best gosh darn Western theme amusement park this side of the Mississippi. I had a blast watching this movie. You know, it may be one of the most fun experiences that you have in a movie theater this summer. Yes, it's only the beginning, but you know that's how much fun this movie is. Needless to say, I'm giving it a thumbs up. It slays you with nonstop hilarity. Of course, Dave. Seth MacFarlane aims his pistol pretty low, but he hits his target every single time in this movie. Every cameo, every celebrity cameo, and let's not give him away, especially that last one, which I think was terrific.
Yeah.
And there's something after the credits. Stay all the way to the end of the credits. Close. But,
Wow! I was gonna do that.
I'll wait after the credits.
Well,
I'll tell you after
see
the break.
It again. Yeah. Here, you do the rest of your review.
Well, I just want to say that a lot of people are calling out. They said that this would have been better. A Million Ways to Die in the West would have been better if it had actually been spoken in Old West type of speech.
No.
I think it was perfect with
it
contemporary
was perfect.
Speech.
Yes. Absolutely.
And you know what? It not only worked as a terrific comedy. It worked as a legitimate Western as well.
It was good. And one thing that I'm going to say is Seth MacFarlane in the lead role, because obviously with Family Guy and Ted, you know, and Ted, you don't see his face.
Yes.
He's a teddy bear. I think he did great. And I see these other critics out there going, oh, you know, good guy, good actor, this and that, good with voices. But no, he can't take over a movie.
I thought he was terrific, especially as a sheep farmer.
The thing is even some of the moments that weren't funny, but a lot of them weren't meant to be because there was a little – it was a funny movie, but there was little times in between where, you know, there wasn't as many jokes and it was intended that way. And but it was still enjoyable watching him up there. And so everyone in general, and like you said, with the cameos, I will say this. With some of the cameos, you just got to pay very close attention.
Wow, you can't blink in this movie.
Yeah.
You cannot. You have to look. I mean,
and
sometimes they will show you five people on the screen at the same time, and you have to be looking
at
the right
part
of the screen.
You can pick out one of them and go, oh, it's that person.
Yeah, and some of them don't even say anything. They're just on the screen.
We all agree.
Yeah.
This
we
is a terrific movie.
Up.
Eric, you
got
to see it tonight. It's great.
Tonight? Yeah. I have to see it tonight?
Yes,
all right,
obviously we got three thumbs up. You have to see it.
It's
very good. That never happens.
I don't think it's going to happen tonight.
It is.
Wow, that's what she said.
Yeah. No, it is, Eric. We've made your arrangement at the dinner movie theater.
That didn't go over the air.
Yeah, we have sent Kathleen a message to tell her that you guys will be seeing the film tonight at 8 o'clock.
Oh. Yes. Oh, and one
is
more.
Is it playing at 8? I thought it was 8:09.
It's playing quite a bit because it's doing pretty well at the box office.
8:12.
Oh,
well, we'll talk more about the box office later, but I just wanted to say one more thing. People die at the fair.
Yeah, they do.
People die at the fair.
Yeah.
It's
not just
shame.
In the Old West.
No, I know. Yeah.
Here in general. This doesn't give anything away. Part of the premise with Giovanni Ribisi's character and, of course, Sarah Silverman is that, you know, she's a prostitute, so she's doing her thing with everyone except for Giovanni, her boyfriend, fiance, whatever they were, because they claimed, oh, we're Christians. And see, again, the message behind that is most of these religious nuts
hypocrites.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of see that. And it seems obvious, but there's others I've talked to that still didn't get that. And I go, but that's the point.
Yeah, yeah. And I just have to say
hilarious.
That the line about Amanda Seyfried's eyes, that the entire theater cracked up.
That was great.
Yeah, and then they did it again later in the movie. I mean, how could you be so blind with eyes that
big?
And
she did very well, with what she's given. I mean, it was all around, I mean, enjoyable. So some of the other media critics, you see, if people go by that based off what they hear, you know, listen to us on this one.
Yes,
especially
listen to
if
us.
You like Family Guy and Ted type of humor.
And again, we're going to be celebrating A Million Ways to Die all show long for the next 3 hours. So let's take a quick break with a song from Million Ways to Die in the West. This is the main title by the composer Joel McNeely.
And that's a great...
Luckily, there's no lyrics.
That sounds like a Western, doesn't it?
We'll play another song in the movie a little bit later. Oh. You'll hear.
And you are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Western show, Reverse Cowgirls coming up. We'll be right back.
Wow.
Are you a restaurant owner who panics if your AC goes down in the dog days of summer? Extreme Cooling finds that equipment usually breaks down unnecessarily, costing restaurant owners time and money. For this reason, Extreme Cooling promotes and specializes in proactive service plans designed specifically to keep all of your refrigeration equipment operating properly as designed all year long. Extreme Cooling is here to help you with all of your refrigeration needs, knowing that saving money is your top concern. Our number is 623-810-8513. When you want to start saving money, call Extreme Cooling. Do you suffer from not having enough fun? We could take care of that. Pino's Palette is the upscale paint and bring your own beverage studio located off of Tatum and Shea. We're a group painting class where you can bring your own alcohol or non-alcoholic beverage, and our trained artists will lead you through step by step in recreating the featured painting of the night. No art experience necessary. Drink in one hand and paintbrush in another. We are a great night out for any occasion. Pino's Palette. Paint, drink, and have fun.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
More than 60,000 people are diagnosed with Parkinson's disease each year, thousands of them here in the Valley. Thankfully, one of the nation's top treatment facilities is located in the heart of Phoenix, the Muhammad Ali Parkinson Center. Parkinson Network of Arizona raises funds to help patients and families receive the crucial educational and activity-based classes offered through the center. 1480 and Parkinson Network of Arizona invite you to become involved and make a difference in the lives of those with Parkinson's. Go online to ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org to find out about upcoming events, including the largest Parkinson's walk in the state, Walk the Fight, and learn how your donation stays local to provide life-changing opportunities. Once again, that's ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And Joseph and Greg, then Eric, that sounds like Clint Eastwood.
It is.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
The good, the bad, and the spaghetti.
We got the good.
Ennio Morricone.
What? We got the good, the bad, the ugly, and the funny in this room. Who is the good, the bad, the ugly, and the funny?
Are we playing that game?
I am the funny.
I'm not going to say the initials, but you know
I am
mean.
The funny. You're
the funny. I'm the good.
You guys.
I don't care. I'll be bad.
You guys take the others.
Greg will be ugly.
All right, I'll take it.
He's coyote ugly.
Well, let this playoff.
Anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Western show.
It is our old West show, yeah, and we're celebrating a million ways to die in the West. I almost named today's show 1001 Ways to Die in the West, seeing as we did 1001 Ways to Die at Sea and 1001 Ways to Die in the Air.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't say it during our review, but you guys were arguing about Ted being better than A Million Ways to Die.
Yeah,
in the West.
I
think that Ted is, as a movie, it's more, it's going to have a more resonance with people. It's going to last longer.
Yeah.
But I think A Million Ways to Die in the West is a lot funnier.
I think so too.
I laughed a lot. Yeah.
I would say this. See, I'm on the different spectrum where I love them both. I thought Ted, I probably laughed a little more with Ted, but this in general, I thought was a really good movie. Yeah, and I'm excited for Ted too, which you know, either in 2015 or 2016.
Yes.
So we'll see what direction they go on that.
Yeah, yeah. Now I wouldn't mind 2 million ways to die in the West as well.
That's possible. That'd be great, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Very funny movie.
Yeah, of course. But Seth MacFarlane has plenty of material. I'm sure he's a very funny guy, and so I can't wait to see what he comes up with next.
So if you thinking of something to do tonight, get out there, see it. It's really really funny. I bet it's going to be pretty crowded tonight too.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it'll be pretty crowded, and Yeah, of course, we've got Maleficent also coming out, and we'll be reviewing that a little bit later during today's show. But right now, we like to talk about the real-life perspectives of these movies that we talk about, and since today is Breakthrough Entertainment's Old West show in honor of the release of A Million Ways to Die in the West, we wanted to get a real Western writer on the phone. I think it's pretty much as close as you can get to a modern-day cowboy, Johnny D. Boggs. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And so you know, you've won several awards. Are they Spur Awards? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, most of them Spur Awards from Western Writers of America. Mm-hmm. And I've got a Wrangler Award from the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum in Oklahoma City.
And Johnny, I always love some of the old Westerns. I guess I'm the oldest guy in the group here, but Bonanza I love. I also love Big Valley, and I noticed on your website you talked about High Chaparral and Bonanza, the Virginia. Did you watch Big Valley as well?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is that where your influence? I mean, how much did that influence?
I think
you?
I'm 50 something years old, but I think the influence was, we started with TV and with the movies. I mean, I played hooky when I was a senior in high school. I played hooky to watch John Ford's Fort Apache.
Yeah.
But I think the influence came, and primarily from Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
I think it was probably one of the more accurate depictions of the West. I mean, as far as television could go in the 1960s and early 70s. I watch a lot of the movies, and I still do. In fact, we have a movie group here. David Morrell, creator of Rambo, Kirk Ellis, who won an Emmy for HBO's John Adams, a couple other people. We gather at a house and every once a month and watch a couple old Westerns and then eat and talk about it. I think the genesis came from television and movies, and then you start researching the actual events, things like that.
Now, you said you watch these movies and you eat. What do you eat? Is it like beans and franks? Or?
No. Oh. We're modern cowboys. I might cook pozole or David's wife's a wonderful cook. She might do some roast beef or something like that, or pork, or Kirk usually orders a cowboy pizza. There's a cowboy pizza. I don't know how he gets his name, Cowboy Pizza, other than it's big and it's got everything on it.
Oh, that's it. Where's your accent from?
South Carolina.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good Southern accent.
Yeah. And so, you know, tell us a little bit more about how your research process. Of course, you pull from these other things in media, but the other parts of research. Do you ever go out and interview people or visit some of these old West towns?
I do the on-site visitation when it's feasible, primarily I've never written about the OK Corral, but if I was going to write about the OK Corral, I'd get the books, like Jeff Gwynn's The Last Gunfight, and read it, which is a fantastic book. But then I'll go back into his bibliography and check where he got his sources and try to go to some of those firsthand accounts. One of my favorite things to do is to contact libraries, the public libraries or an archive, and try to get the period newspapers from the time you're writing about, and you can figure out what's going on in the town, what businesses were there. You can even insert some actual names. I don't know if most people can get it, but it just kind of adds an authenticity to the writing.
You know, Johnny, one of my favorite movies, definitely favorite Western, and probably in maybe the top 10 of all time, is Tombstone with Val Kilmer, of course.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, exactly. Within that time frame, I can't remember when it was, probably 90s somewhere.
It's early 90s, right?
Yeah. They also, Kevin Costner came out with a movie also talking about Wyatt Earp.
Wyatt Earp, right.
You probably saw both of them, right?
Yeah.
How would you compare both of those?
Tombstone's better.
Yes.
I don't think Tombstone's a great movie, but it certainly has a cult following. The great thing about Tombstone and all the, maybe eight movies dealing with the OK Corral, the defining moment for the Doc Holliday character, they're about to walk to the gunfight, and Doc shows up, and this is in a historical record, And Wyatt says, "This is not your fight." And Doc Holliday's reply was, "That's a hell of a thing for you to say to me."
Yeah, I remember that.
And that's the only movie that actually uses that line. And I just love that line because, that, you know, no matter what your take on the gunfight of the O.K. Corral is, if it's, you know, a turf war between two gangs, more or less, or you know, law and order, or cold-blooded murder, that defines Doc Holliday, and that's the only movie that uses that line, and I like that. Now, my favorite O.K. Corral movie is My Darling Clementine, which has absolutely nothing right.
Wow, that's interesting.
But you know, John Ford directed it. It's 1946. It's just a beautiful, beautiful movie.
When you're writing, what do you go for? Is it more the authenticity or the adventure, or do you try to find a balance between the two?
You try to find a balance. I mean, I go for the authenticity. I try to write often exactly what kind of happened or what happens. But, you know, I always, and when I'm talking to kids and beginning writers and you know, people like that, I say, don't quote me in your term paper. You know, I make things up. I mean, I'm a novelist primarily, and I try to get it as accurate as possible. But, you know, you've got to, whether you're making a movie or you're writing a novel, the primary goal is to entertain and not educate.
Now, you made a little departure in your career, and you actually became, a sports editor? You wrote sports in Dallas.
Now, I was in sports for 15 years in Dallas Fort Worth, which is education to be sure, especially back then when the newspapers were wars were going on pretty strong. But it's great training. I mean, it was perfect training in a competitive major metropolitan market, and you're writing sports where, you know, sports is godly in Dallas, Texas. You had to be accurate, you had to be fast, you had to be thorough, and you had to be clear. And that's great training as a novelist.
Wow, that would be. Now, I understand you wrote your first story in third grade.
I don't know what it was. I don't know what that story was. They asked me, it was English part class, and they said, write a tale, just make something up, and have no idea what I wrote. But I remember that feeling that I got when I was writing that, and just, you know, using your imagination to create your own world or whatever. And I still get that feeling whenever I start a book.
Well, I'm looking at your website. It's a very nice website, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's the website you want to share?
It is Johnny Boggs.
JohnnyDBoggs.com.
JohnnyDBoggs.com. You're right. Johnny D as in
D.
Dave.
D as in, yeah.
Dave.
whatever you want to call me. Yeah. Man, dumb.
No. you've written quite a few books. Why don't you talk a little bit about some of your favorite books?
Yeah, what's your favorite one that you
should
check out?
Probably the best one, I think, that I ever did was called Northfield. And it's about the James Younger Gang's Northfield, Minnesota raid. And I did that in various first-person accounts. So you're the events leading up to the bank robbery and the bank robbery itself. And every chapter is from a different first-person viewpoint of actual people. Every character in that book is real, and so I think that's probably the maybe the most successful, one of the most acclaimed. My favorite of all the books I've written was called Camp Ford, and it's about a baseball game between Confederate guards and Union prisoners of war in a POW camp in Camp Ford, Texas, which is in the eastern part of Texas. So I call that my Civil War baseball western.
How long does it take to write a book?
How long you give me?
Well, I don't know. You have quite a few books there. I'm counting 40-plus books.
If you give me the deadline, it depends on the book. But, you know, I can do a book and a quick novel in 4 months. But a lot of that, you know, the research I'm doing long beforehand that. So when I sit down to write the book, I've got everything kind of mapped out. And, you know, or an outline, but it's a loose outline, and outlines are always varying. You go by the feel of the story when you're writing.
Yeah, and again, once again, we're speaking with Western writer Johnny D. Boggs, and you know, Johnny, if there in your all your research, if there was one place that we should definitely check out if we want to like live the Old West lifestyle, because here in Arizona we've got Pioneer Living History Museum, yep. we've got Rawhide. Where would and I know those probably aren't the most authentic places, but in your
opinion, those are like Knott's Berry Farm, dude.
I know, but so that's why I'm asking Johnny for his opinion. Where should we go?
You know, the West is so broad and so wide and so vast, and you've got, you know, everything in, from southern Arizona is a whole lot different than what you're going to find up in a mining camp in Montana. So it it really depends on what your interests are. I mean, I like Fort Bowie, which is, you know, nothing really. I mean, it's the crumbling adobe ruins in southern Arizona, but I really like going there. And because you hike this trail out there, and you know, you're walking through the grounds where you know, Geronimo and George Crook and a lot of other famous, you know, figures actually walk those grounds. And you're right. I mean, I think people go to Tombstone, and it's a little touristy and it's a little corny, but you know, there's history there, and some of my favorite places are just the unheralded places that you go to that don't get the attention. I was just up for a magazine article at Sand Creek Massacre site in Colorado, which is really disturbing. I mean, it's just, you know, I've been to the 9/11 Memorial in New York City, and I've been to Gettysburg, Shiloh, a bunch of Civil War battlefields. I've been to Wounded Knee, South Dakota, which is really depressing. But, you know, Sand Creek, whenever I go there, I'm just, it's not a feel-good place. I mean, Colorado troops massacred a peaceful Cheyenne and Arapaho village, killed 200 people, most of them women and children. And it'd be 150 years ago in November. But when you go there, you know, I mean, I'm just always overcome by the history of these places. If whether it's a feel-good spot or it's, you know, a black spot in American history. I'm a history buff, I guess, primarily. I don't know where that came from, but I just love the history of the American West and history in general.
Yeah, history makes a difference. Knowing, you know, really what happened can certainly changes one's perception about, you know, obviously the truth. And just a last question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always been, I've liked Western type movies and TV shows and so on.
Mm-hmm.
The names, I'm going to throw out a few names and see if they are depicted accurately. Billy the Kid, Jesse James, Wyatt Earp, and there may be some others that I don't even know, but what do you know about these?
Well, at least Billy these the Kid, I don't think there's ever been a really good movie about Billy the Kid. I think Billy the Kid's kind of complicated. I think the same, I mean, it's a complicated story. It's not, but you can depict him in different ways. He's the homicidal maniac that Paul Newman plays him in The Left-Handed Gun, or Emilio Estevez plays him in the Young Guns movie, or, you know, he's a good kid gone bad, things like that. It's a complicated story. Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, Sam Peckinpah's 1973 movies, probably the best, but it's a train wreck. I mean, it's sometimes incomprehensible. There are a lot of beautiful moments, like in most Peckinpah movies. Jesse James' career goes from 1860. Well, he started in the Civil War about 1863, 1864. He's killed in 1882. I mean, his career as a bandit is 1866 to 1882. That's a long, long, long career for an outlaw in those days, especially. I mean, and that's kind of hard to cram into a 2-hour movie. And a lot of these movies are B movies from the 1940s and 50s. A lot of them aren't very good. I like the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. It's an art film. It's slow. It's not, certainly not for all tastes. Wyatt Earp and OK Corral, as I said, Tombstone's fun, and he goes through this transfiguration too. He's the stalwart lawman bringing law and order to the West in the 1930s and 40s. You see more of a Cold War influence when you get to the gunfight at the OK Corral with Burt Lancaster playing him and Kirk Douglas as Doc Holliday. And then in the 60s, you get a whole different vibe on him. And, you know, in Doc, where Harris Yulin plays him, he's a cold-blooded murderer, basically, and politician, and not a very nice guy. And James Garner plays him kind of as a – and most historians think James Garner is probably the best performance or the best portrayal of Wyatt Earp, although Kurt Russell probably looks more like him in Tombstone. And Kurt, I've always said Kevin Costner played him as a boring Wyatt Earp.
Well, we certainly, you know, I think we should all check out your books.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, because I'm sure that those aren't boring. You've won a lot of awards. And, you know, again, Western writer Johnny D. Boggs. Everyone check out www.johnnydboggs.com. That's Boggs with two G's.
That's right.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much,
thank
Johnny.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks,
Johnny. Have a great weekend.
Any relation to Wade?
I get asked that a lot. And if you ever see me play baseball, you'll know the answer to that is no.
Oh.
But my son's a pretty good catcher.
Very cool. Excellent. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you.
That was so interesting. I really do love these movies. And he would be fascinated to sit down with, you know, go to lunch or something.
Yeah.
He knows this stuff. He knows, you know, the historical parts of all these things, what movies depicted each character the way they did. I think that's sort of interesting, actually.
See what you learn when you listen to Breakthrough Entertainment?
I love listening to Breakthrough Entertainment every Saturday.
Most entertaining show on radio.
It is.
Certainly is.
It is,
at least in Phoenix.
No, on
no,
radio.
The world.
The universe. World, the no, universe. Not the world. The universe.
The universe.
Beyond
the galaxy.
The universe.
All
beyond
right.
The
well,
universe.
That's another show. But in the meantime, let's play Dave's favorite song our break. By Jay Livingston and Ray Evans.
What is this? Oh, Gunsmoke.
No.
No, Bonanza. Wow. Let's sing it. Come on, sing. Greg's out of the studio.
I don't know.
I didn't know there were lyrics.
There are lyrics, but I didn't.
Yeah, let's make lyrics version. Up. Let's do a rap.
Dave is dancing in the studio.
Oh,
the
yeah? Okay.
Reverse cow Bonanza at the bar crawl. KPHX 1480.
Anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live 1480. AM, KPHX, we'll be right back.
Entertainment. Woo!
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight
to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
I want to ride again on the 310 to Yuma. That's where I saw my love, the girl with the golden hair.
That sounds like a James Bond movie.
The man with the golden gun, the girl with the golden hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hitting on her, the girl with the golden hair.
Someone had golden hair?
Of course.
Really? Was it the reverse cowgirl? Oh, blonde. No, gold and blonde are different.
They are?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
No, they are. No, really. Blonde is blonde, gold is gold. Just okay. Like, you know, if you, how much money in the bank do you have? You go, I got gold or I have blonde. What would you rather have?
I don't know, actually.
You'd rather have gold.
If we're talking about reverse cowgirl, I'd like to have a lot of blonde money in the bank.
Okay. I stand corrected. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
And we want to thank Frankie Lane for bringing us into this segment. He's singing us the theme song to 310 to Yuma. The original version of 310 to Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
Huma?
Huma? No, Yuma.
Huma.
No, Huma.
As opposed to
Huma
a remake?
The remake starring Christian Bale.
No. I saw it.
You're talking about movies. A minute ago, you were talking about song. A second ago, you were talking about music.
No, I was talking about
Position.
Well, he was singing the theme song to 310 to
right,
Yuma.
Right, but from the original movie.
Huma.
Because
original
nobody
movie,
remade
yes.
that song.
Right, sorry. I wish that they would have remade the song because I love the remake of the movie starring Christian Bale.
It's a good movie.
That's my favorite Western movie.
And Russell Crowe, right?
Yeah, Russell Crowe.
Very good movie.
Really good cast in there.
Yeah.
Ben Foster, I think his name is. And so excellent Western movie. Probably my favorite, the remake.
Frankie Lane, brother of Lois.
Excellent. Well, that's exciting. All right. Well, let's. I don't know where. Let's talk a little bit about a movie that Eric said that he was really interested in. I'm switching things up, by the way, from the breakdown that I sent you.
Breakdown? You had a breakdown?
Yes, I had a horrible breakdown when she rejected me. Cold in July. That's past, though. Cold in July, Michael C. Hall, one of Eric's favorite actors. Would you agree?
I wouldn't say he's one of my favorite, but I do like him a lot.
Okay. All right. Well, he is in what? All right. You're one of your favorite actors
yes.
as well, Greg. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Are you still here, Johnny?
I mean, you're sitting over there so quiet. We forgot you were there.
I know.
Well, you're probably
all the times I talk about Dexter.
Well, this is kind of close to a Western because you've got the people wearing cowboy hats in the movie, right?
I mean, I don't remember, but I saw the trailer.
Wait, what's this called?
Cold in July.
I don't see anyone wear trailer cowboy hats.
In the poster.
I see a reverse cowgirl going on. I'm playing it right now.
Don't go on there. Okay, Michael C. Hall plays a Texan. Well, if it's Texas, it's obviously cowboys.
Not everyone's a cowboy in Texas.
No, they're Republicans.
Come on, just roll with it. Who initially hailed as a hero for fatally shooting a lowlife burglar who broke into his house. Begins to fear.
Broke into my house.
Begins to fear for his family.
It's like a man on the tailpipe.
He fears for his family's safety when the victim's ex-con father, played by Sam Shepard, turns up in town making some not-so-veiled threats. And, of course, as we said earlier, Don Johnson also stars in this film. What did you think of the trailer, everyone?
Well, Eric, you want to go first?
I liked it. I liked what I saw. But often, you know, a trailer, it has all the intense parts of the movie or the funny parts of a movie. And when you finally get to the movie, it's not so great.
How I saw it, this trailer, suspenseful, a thriller, intense. But I agree with Eric. You couldn't quite tell, is this movie going to be great? But it certainly looked suspenseful, thrilling, and intense.
Well, I have to say that the first 30 minutes of this movie is exactly that.
Oh?
It is exceptionally gripping. It fuses the home invasion and revenge genres into one compelling concoction. However, just when things are at their utmost intensity, I mean, I thought that this could not get any better. What do you think? It got even better?
It got worse.
It got
It fell completely apart.
What a shame.
Just when...
I saw a cowboy hat, so you're right.
It was sort of like Dexter, where it was like the greatest show on TV, and then it fell apart.
Well, this it shifts into a completely different direction. I don't want to tell you exactly what happens, but, you know, it's a narrative 180. We've seen a lot of these lately. They completely change things, and it's interesting in theory. The movie's mood digs its way under your skin, but, you know, the whole thing feels a little bit forced. I found it hard to believe that these characters, particularly Michael C. Hall's character, would actually go along for this risky ride. Michael C. Hall is excellent in this movie, so if you are a fan of his, I definitely would check it out. Eric and Greg, I won't forget you this time, but unfortunately...
What about Don Johnson?
Yeah, you can't forget Don Johnson.
They're all good in this movie.
Don Johnson.
Yeah, arguably one of the three greatest actors of all time.
That was a cat, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't your next. Your next can't do that. My cat. She can do other things, though.
Yeah.
Things we don't want to talk about on the air. But
what can she do?
She can rip a livelihood.
Right. But we will give it a thumbs down. I will give it a thumbs down. Yes. We talk about this off the air. Because we got to go into a break in a second. We got to go into a break. But I'm giving Cold in July. No. Why would you even talk about that? No, okay, well, here we go. The song that's going to take us into the break is, of course, The Magnificent Seven.
Oh, I like that. Charles Bronson.
Elmer Bernstein.
Is it Charles Bronson?
KPHX 1480. There's Listen to Breakthrough Entertainment's
Nine,
Old West,
eight,
Old West Show.
It's the West Show. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480 KP.